Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined today by two amazing doctors of psychology, and that is Dr. Alice Bitten and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello,
Hi, guys.
Listen, you're bringing the green today.
We are. We're in sync often. Yes, I love that. You know, it's fallish. Right?
Yep, kind of, yeah. We're saying goodbye to green and welcome in the colors. But, you know, another thing that we're getting ready to do is next week is Thanksgiving. Sure, and we have so much to be grateful for. However, there are so many people right now that are feeling anxiety, whether it's because they're fixing the whole meal or because of all the people that are coming to their house. And so what can we do to help people prepare for family gatherings? Because, you know, it's not going to be like the Waltons for many people. For some it is, and we celebrate you. But I know that there are a lot of our listeners, you know, that are looking forward to being together. But there's a whole bunch of them that are just like, oh, I don't even know if I can do it. And while we're going to, let's just talk about that. But I want everybody to know that they can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to take calls for 2 hours. But Jill or Alice, how would you encourage somebody as they're looking to the holidays, Thanksgiving next week? How do you deal with family?
Well, logistically ahead of time, the more we can take care of ourselves, proactively plan ahead, and even delegate to other family members to help us out with the tasks that we have, that will protect our peace of mind for when we go into things if the conversations start to get tricky. And I recommend having a little phrase on hand. If it goes to a topic that you don't want the the conversation to take, you might just make a comment of, interesting point, and have something else prepared to go to. And I find that asking family members questions about themselves, tell me, that's interesting, but tell me, how's your work going? Or how's that other family member doing? It gently nudges the conversation in a better direction.
Mm-hmm. I love that
idea.
Yeah,
no, that's great. I actually, there's a good example in my own family. I have a stepsister, and she is so good at getting in and asking the young people questions. Oh. And she actually asks pretty deep questions, but she really shows an interest in them, and they all love her. And she finds out things. She tells me things. I'm like, I didn't know that. How do you know that? So that is a good way. So I think to add to that is to listen more. Right? Make it less of a priority to share your point of view, right? And unless you're a person that is such a people pleaser, you never speak up about anything, then the opposite, you know, say something you like without getting into things that are controversial. And I think really, we say this all the time, but just lowering the expectation for what this Thanksgiving is going to be. It's not going to make up for all the past times that failed, right? It's another day. It's another holiday. It's a time to just kind of let what is be, right? And we take the good and then we leave the rest.
Right. And you know, Jill, along that same lines, what about those folks that have separated from family for many different reasons? That happens.
Right.
How can we encourage them?
Or people that don't have a lot of family around, right? I really encourage people to draw in other people that maybe are in the same boat, right? Create family-ish gatherings wherever you are. I love inviting someone who doesn't have a lot of family around to join ours.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we always are about serving, too. And Thanksgiving's a great day. A lot of cities have communal meals where you could go scoop out some mashed potatoes and roast turkey and just be with your neighbors and be with your community. But, you know, there's a way through Thanksgiving. But one of the things is to keep that gratitude in your heart as we go through this season. We're going to be with you for the next couple of hours. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. If you've got some family issues that you're not looking forward to dealing with, or maybe it's something else, but we're here for you, and we'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Brown, or Alice Bitten. Did I say Alice Brown?
I've always wanted to be in the Brown family.
Yes, you just got adopted.
That's it. And I'm
what
so happy
me?
You're part of the family.
They have great singing voices in the Brown family.
I am going to Ohio tomorrow. So.
Okay, well, see, we're all God's children, and I'm so glad that you're my siblings. You know, one of the things that we just experienced, I was just in Washington, D.C. over the weekend with our Restore workshop. And it is so amazing to see how God meets the women and in this deep need, and then the community rises around them. And so I just want to encourage you, we are coming up on a whole new year of workshops, and we're going to have Restore again in February in Orange County. And so if you have thought about going, but there's a hesitancy, you know what? One of the first steps is that you can just call us and talk to one of our representatives, and they will help you discern and decide and maybe make that decision so that you can join us when we get there in February. I also want to mention that we are in this time of giving thanks, and part of that, we're going to do Giving Tuesday in just a couple of weeks, and it's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and we're going to do a special matching gift for just that day where we're going to try and raise some money to continue to do ministry across this country. And I think it's a great way for you to prepare for the next 2 weeks, and then you can give us a call. But you can always give at any time. You know, we're not going to restrict you to one day, but that's just something to look forward to. You know, the part about the holidays coming up, there's also the piece we talk about in recovery. If anything like alcohol, chemical addiction is impairing your life, holidays can be tricky because there is a reason, or it's a season of drinking, it's a season of celebration for a lot of people. What would you offer to somebody who may be struggling with, you know, how am I going to deal with this during the holidays?
We still have some time to emotionally and spiritually prepare. Mm-hmm. And some of us wait because of our avoidance, because of our hesitation, our fear. We wait until it's too late. But gathering the emotional support around us now, going to meetings, preparing even a relapse prevention plan where you identify in advance what will likely be triggering to you on the holidays. You share those triggers with a trusted friend or with your therapist, with your group, and then you plan how you'll handle the triggers so that you go in with structure, with preparation, and even with practice. I like to bookend events with a touch with a safe person so that perhaps there's a call and prayer before going to a Thanksgiving holiday, and then there's a phone call to check in afterwards to talk about how it went. And that can help safeguard sobriety.
Yes, absolutely. And it also falls in the realm of people who have eating disorders and eating issues, right?
Good
compulsive
point, Jill.
Overeating and all the sugar that's around the holidays. And so in the same way, right, we don't stop eating, but I think having that accountability and people you check in with can really help it to go more smoothly. Mm-hmm. And like you said, being aware of the things that drive you to eating, right? To doing that emotional eating, and even doing a little journaling through the holidays to keep yourself aware and in touch.
That's such a great point, Jill, and especially during the season of eating. I mean, that literally is what we're going to be into, but I think that's great. We're going to go to our first caller, and we're going to continue taking calls. Our lines are open. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Marie, who's calling us from San Francisco, listens on KFAX, and we're so glad you called, Marie. How can we help you today?
Hello, Becky. This is a follow-up call. I called previously, and I talked with Sherry and Steve, and it's probably Jill, about my husband looking at pornography. And so he signed up to go to Every Man's Battle, and when he came back, I had asked a question if he ever spent money, you know, for anything. And then he said that the day when he got to Irvine for the Every Man's Battle that a prostitute approached him in the hotel and he took her up to the hotel room and they had sex. This was before the first session. So here we are a month back, and I asked him to move with his mom. Well, he just came back to the home because his mom and him got in a fight, and I wasn't ready for him to come back, but he was asking, so he switched from an iPhone to a flip phone, you know, and cleared out his iPhone and shipped it off to his dad's where I couldn't even see the history. So now I'm asking for bank statements, and he's getting fidgety and squirmy about that. But my question is that now that he has a flip phone, he's asking to get an iPad so he can have it at work for music. And I told him he has a radio, you know, in the car. And then he's saying, well, we can have it for the baby, which he already has a work iPad. So, and I said, we're not even, it's only a month into this. You haven't seen a sex therapist yet. You haven't seen a 12-step meeting yet. He sees a therapist every week that he's been lying to. He's been on Covenant Eyes, but he knows how to get around it. So I'm just calling to ask what, now that he's back in the home, and I just need to know the next steps because it doesn't seem like he's doing what he needs to be doing. He's wanting an iPad so he can, like, he doesn't, it just seems like he's not taking this seriously. Why would you want to get an iPad when we haven't even made any progress a month in?
Well, and he's, so you know, Marie, here's the thing. He is in addiction. He's struggling with addiction. And so the questions that you have and the concerns that you have are all valid, but it's very much a part of somebody who has not even begun to do the recovery. And I'm sorry that you're going through this. Let's hear from Alice and Jill as we, you know, kind of give you some insight on what some next steps for you to do.
Well, Marie, I'm so sorry. You know, it's kind of like the binge before you're going to go sober, right? And isn't that just how Satan works? To be right there where we're having a conference, right? That just breaks my heart. But if your husband is not ready, you know, he would have sought it out perhaps anyway. And so I think the thing is, for some men, they go in very, very guarded. Most men come out and they have been broken, right? I don't know if your husband had that experience or not. Once in a while, it takes a man, you know, a couple of times. And it is that getting into the accountability. So that they have something to hold on to while they're giving something up. And sometimes the depth, just like with any addiction, the fear of giving up that addiction because they don't know what else is there. And to look into that kind of cauldron, and he may have gotten a glimpse of it at Every Man's Battle, and it may have scared him to death. Right. And so I would ask him what he's willing to do, because you can't be his policeman. Right. But what is he willing to do? Because this is a make it or break it with your marriage. Right.
Alice, how about you?
Marie, would you tell us about the support you're receiving right now? Because you certainly need a tribe around you.
Well, right now I've been in touch with Sherry and Keffer there from the show, and she's helping me do a consultation with her to find a therapist over here because I'm not in Long Beach where she's at, and I do belong to the Brave One community.
Excellent. You are taking the right steps then to get the information you need to guard your heart and to get the strength to set these firm boundaries with your husband. And I want to give you a phrase that when he brings up these requests that are so premature, they're even dangerous requests to the safety of your marriage, the phrase, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. I'm not willing to argue, not willing to discuss it. I'm not even willing to talk about it further. That doesn't work for me. Please stop asking for that. And that can be applied to so many of these things that he's asking you for. When you consider asking him to move out again, or even requiring him to move out because of all these signs of active addiction going on, what are the thoughts and feelings you have about making that request of him again?
I'm not even sure about that.
I feel very protective of you. Mm-hmm. And I think he took advantage of his mom's home being unavailable to him. And so he came back and he's continued to act out. All the signs seem to point in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to ask for that distance in order to safeguard yourself and your household and to set up the signs you'll need to see over a period of time before you're willing to consider having him back. It's not a good enough excuse that his mom's place is not available to him.
And even to add in, when you ask me those things, it tells me that you're not willing to do everything it takes to turn this around. It tells me that you're not fighting for our marriage. And so then that gives me information on what I need to do next.
It's so true. Right.
Marie, I'm a people pleaser and I'm a conflict avoider in recovery. And whenever I have to ask something of someone that will displease them, I am so hesitant to do it. I would rather suffer then ask something difficult of someone else. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have similar feelings of asking such difficult things of your husband or requiring them of him. But that is what love does. Love requires and requests the good behavior from the other. And if it's not produced, then we create distance to protect ourselves from their poisonous choices that they're making.
We're so glad you called, Marie, and I would encourage you to join us at Restore in February, but we're going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust, and it's something that both of you can read. But, you know, just like Jill and Alice both said, this isn't something that you have to take on by yourself, and so we can also help you find a counselor that's in your area, and hope to see you at Restore. We're going to go to Robert, who's calling us from Las Vegas and listens on KNLV. Hello, Robert. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Good morning, ladies. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I spoke to you, Becky and Alice, about 5 months ago on a problem I was having with an old friend, and I took your guys' advice, and I'm visually impaired and about 90% blind. And took you guys' advice and tried to distance myself from the young lady or the friend of mine, and lost about 65 pounds now. My goal is 120, so I'm doing pretty good.
Wow.
But my question is, I keep thinking of my old friend, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, why did she sick her husband on me and all this stuff, you know, because like Alice, I'm a people person and I'm very truthful.
Well, and Robert, what's the question you have for us today?
My question is, how can I get not thinking of her anymore, you know, because I still care for her.
Okay.
What can I do?
Okay.
And Robert, are you able today to identify one or two of the things that crossed the line and may have worried her or her husband and in your interactions with them?
No, she never told me. And to begin with, I didn't know she was married to begin with. She never told me.
Yeah, I remember, Robert, we talked to you about the fact that this was a very old relationship and that, I mean, like 20 years, right, Robert? Like it was more than that. And sometimes we can get obsessive thinking, and I think that would be the best way to help you get moving forward. So, I mean, Alice, Jill, how would you help him kind of move forward from that obsessive thinking about this person in his past?
Well, Robert, so this is someone that comes to mind. One of the things is to also look at what does she represent in your life, right? A lot of times we're obsessed with something or someone because they fill a void that we have in our lives. And so to help kind of move them out of that position and dethrone them is to add in other things in our life that are missing. Other relationships, other people that we can share with, and to have those to make an active choice to invest in those people. And as the obsessive thoughts come up, to remind yourself that that's that obsessive part of your brain that is dwelling on a longing that you have, and to, you know, one, to take that longing to the Lord, right, and ask Him to meet that need. and to bring others along that can help you meet that longing that you have. Because most of our longings aren't wrong, they're just misplaced.
That's right. Well, Robert, you can hear the music. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. Our lines are open if you want to call in, 1-800-229-3000. We would love to help you because we know that there's hope. And we'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Robert, and Jill gave some great insight on how to kind of disrupt those obsessive thoughts. And Jill, did you have anything else before we go to Alice? Because I know she's got some next steps as well.
Well, maybe after Alice. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay,
because I know she's got some.
Robert, I recall that having lost your sight, having lived with vision impairment for such a long time, that this girl was a connection that you had. And she was someone who understood you, somebody who was friendly to you. And through all those years you were separated, you held on to the value of that friendship. And it may have been an innocent mistake to reach out to her, not knowing she was married, but it was unsettling to her, unsettling to her marriage for some reason. And you may never get the why it was so unsettling. And so what I would recommend is a couple of steps. One is you might need to work on forgiving yourself for making an innocent mistake that did not succeed in renewing the friendship that you wanted. And you had no ill intentions. You just wanted to reconnect with someone who had cared for you. And we often need to get those thoughts into words to process them and to lament the strong disappointment that this friend is no longer in your life. Mm-hmm. I find, Robert, that when I struggle with an obsessive thought that I just can't get rid of, for me, I consider it a temptation. I consider that there may be some spiritual warfare ramping that thought up in my head. And so I fight it with prayer. I work to take that thought captive, submitting it over and over again to God and bringing it to that safe person in my life that I share the obsessive thought with. And if I find that I can't conquer it on my own, even with those steps, then I'd consider that there may be some underlying anxiety attached to the way of the pattern of thinking. And the way we treat anxiety is with a therapist, sometimes with medication. Mm-hmm. Those are good things for you to consider. Lastly, when we are rejected and we don't know what is it about me that I was rejected, we should go to a couple people that know us and ask for feedback. Would you tell me some of the positive things about me? What do I do well in relationship? And then tell me, how do I rub people wrong? I really want to know so I can work on my character. And I see, Robert, I want to praise you that you continue to reach out to us trying to find the answers. So I see that you care about what's happening, and I'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Robert, I would encourage you to join us at our Emotional Freedom Workshop that's going to be online in January. And that could be a good start to finding community, because we always have groups that will begin after that. And also just the content that we share. You know, Chris brings such great content about how to get unstuck, how to deal with the stuff that wants to take you back to the history. And then we'll hear from Dr. Jackie McHarris, who will talk about trauma. And then Steve will also bring in his wisdom as well. And I just think it would be a great way for you to move on and get some healing in your life. Jill, last word?
Yes, because Alice, something you said about if this has been a longstanding friendship that you had from years ago, and I don't know your situation, Robert, in terms of your blindness, but if it's been a gradual decline in your sight, and that person was someone you knew when you were more sighted, I think there's a link there, right? That recapturing a time when the world was more vivid and mm-hmm. perhaps, you know, felt more alive in that time. And yeah. so that's something that I think is important to grieve, right?
Yeah,
to really grieve the blindness that you are struggling with. And how do you now find new community?
Yeah, and I think that's why
a therapist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
therapist and emotional freedom workshop would be a great way to go. Now we're thankful that you called, Robert. We're going to go talk to, I think it's Bruni. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, great. And you're calling from Pennsylvania. Listen on WBYN. How can we help you today, Bruni?
Thank you for all your help. You've been helping me for the last 22 years.
Thanks for listening.
Wow.
And I say your counsel some people that ask me stuff, and I say, it's not coming from me. It's coming from the guys that are an expert in it. It's Thursday at 1 o'clock in 107. Come on and listen to it, you know. Anyway.
Awesome, Brittany. Okay.
Even listening to you, this problem, I haven't been able to get rid of it, and I'm going to be 65 years old, and I'm tired of it. I don't speak my mind, regardless situations. Like, I'm going to give you two examples. I don't tell, let's say my daughter, she's going through some stuff, and then I'm paying for her counseling and all of this stuff, and then she come and keep doing the same mistakes again, and I just don't tell her, you know, how I feel, you know. And then another thing, I have a business, and I have these customers that they just taking advantage of me and my service, and what I would do is I get angry and I just leave them, and I go and get other customers instead of telling them why I'm leaving them, and so on and on like that. You know, I just don't speak my mind, and I get angry.
Well, when
we don't speak our minds, and when something's bothering us and we're avoiding a conflict or we're afraid, of course we get angry and resentful. We turn it all inward and it just kind of seethes inside of us. And so the being able to relieve that is being able to be more truthful with others about how you feel. And you know, it's that speaking the truth in love. So
that's
we've
right.
got the well, music, hear, Becky, so yep. we'll come back and expand on that.
Yeah, and we still have some lines open that we're taking calls, so you can be like Bruni and dial us up, and we will help you with whatever you're struggling with. 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. It's just that simple. It can make all the difference in your day and in your life, and we are here to help you. And we've got lots of resources, ways to help you and find that new life that you can tell others about and experience it. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Like I said before the break, we are continuing to take your calls at 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we are on the phone with Bruni, who is just sick and tired of not being able to speak her mind. However, Bruni, I think you've got really good articulation about the problem, and but I also hear your frustration. And I was sharing with Allison that this past weekend at Restore, one of the concepts that we talked about when we're talking about boundaries is that it's very difficult to set a boundary when you don't really believe it in your core. And sometimes we'll set a boundary hoping that the other person will be okay with it. And when they're not okay with it, we back up. And so it sounds like, Bruni, that's where you know, that waffle. It's like, I can't speak my mind, and then people walk over me, and then I get tired of it. And then I really speak my mind and walk away from the relationship. And you're kind of tired of that. Okay. Well, Alice and Jill, you take it from here.
Bruni, what?
You say,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. You say, speak the truth with love. But that's the point. At that moment, I don't feel love. So I'm not going to speak the truth.
Oh, okay, right. But it's like what Becky was saying, because you wait too long in a sense. Yes. And then you need your anger to be able to speak. So, Bruni, you're not someone that is void of opinions. You do have lots of opinions. You're really good, like you said, of like sharing about New Life or things that are positive and pleasant. It's when you're going to say something that someone may not like, right? And it's that timidness that comes in because, like Becky, you were saying, it's almost like you're looking for permission from them instead of thinking about what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And realizing that the boundary is for you, right? Mm-hmm. It helps.
But I'm afraid to hurt somebody's feeling.
Here's the thing. Like with your daughter, daughters are tricky, right? And adult kids, they don't always want to hear our opinions. And I have learned that the hard way. And so I think with an adult daughter, you need to be respectful and you need to ask her if she would like some feedback, that you have some thoughts about some things and that you would be happy to share them with her if she wants to hear, but that you understand if maybe she's not wanting any feedback at this time, right? So that's an area where you're respecting her boundaries and as an autonomous adult individual, and she's not your child at home anymore, right? When it comes...
I'm the best mother ever, and even with me, with her saying that to me, I'm the best mother ever. Why I can't feel the freedom to, you know, to address some issues, not only with her, with other people too.
Bruni, I wonder, when did you experience anger in a frightening way that maybe even broke or deeply bruised relationship in the past?
Oh, I think I've been like that all my life. I just keep it to myself.
And where did you see anger destroy or hurt relationship? In your childhood home and in other relationships?
I learned to retreat. I retreat from everything. When I get angry, instead of finding a solution, I just retreat. I stop with that relationship or that one, or going to that place, or to that church anymore, you know, like that.
Right, so you cut off. So, Bruni, that was demonstrated for you, or I'm wondering, when you were a child, did you ever get angry? And if so, how did your parents handle your anger?
Well, I was the youngest of 13.
So
by the time they were taking pile of kids, I just put myself in the corner.
Okay, so by number 13, I would imagine the others kind of took up all the space. And so the only thing for you to do was to retreat. Because it sounds like you're saying nobody really wanted to hear it at that point.
And retreat is a really common tactic for us when we want to please people and we're afraid of upsetting them. But Bruni, the funny thing is, or the sad thing is, we actually end up hurting the people we don't want to hurt when we end relationship with them.
Yeah.
You're a bubbly woman. You're the best mom. You make an impression on people. And there is a loss when Bruni leaves people's lives or leaves her customers. So the very thing you and I try to avoid by not speaking our upset, we actually hurt the people when we don't tell them what's going on. And so the ways we start to break through that are by identifying that fear that we have. I'm going to upset somebody. Maybe I'll lose relationship. Or Bruni, maybe your fear is, if I start to speak my anger, I'm going to get so loud and so mean, I won't be able to control it. You got to identify what stops you. And then, Bruni, we start to practice small, sharing little things that we're worried might displease someone, like an opinion about something small. And we do it with the safest people in our lives, maybe like the daughter that knows we're the best mom ever. And we start to build the truth-telling muscle in safe relationships.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Bruni, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. But one of the things that Steve always says, you were talking about your daughter and sharing opinions, he will say, help me understand.
Right.
And then whatever your decision is. And it's a conversation because, like you said, Jill, there's a lot of times our opinions don't really matter to our adult kids.
Right.
But I want to encourage you on this journey, Bruni, and I'm so glad you called because it will make a difference in your Thanksgiving. That's how we started the show today. You know, we want to have those good connections.
Becky and Jill, one of my toughest breakthrough moments of truth-telling. I joined a women's group because I needed relationship to practice this, because I avoid displeasing people as well. And I decided one night, I'm going to share my political opinion in the group.
Ooh,
and I was terrified. I was almost paralyzed to share it. But that was a watershed moment for me of being able to share a part of me that I didn't know how people would react with me. So, Bruni, gosh, if I can do that, you can do this, girl.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. And you picked a very safe place.
Purposefully? Yeah.
Purposefully, absolutely. I love that.
That's right.
Start small, start safe, and work from there.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, now we're going to go talk to Cindy, who's calling us from Raleigh, North Carolina, listens on SiriusXM. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for calling. And how can we help you today?
Thank you. I'm a longtime listener. I am the, I've called in before on some of this issue, some of these issues. I'm a middle child raised in a very dysfunctional family, non-saved father, totally dominated mother. And my father put three daughters, put us all against each other, put me as the hero child, which I didn't have a good relationship with him, but he put me in the middle, which made my other two sisters feel inferior. So they grew up in my shadow, even though I didn't encourage that. I'm the one most estranged from my father. And then, you know, my younger sister had lots of problems, mostly her own self-making, but I was kind of like her mother to raise her really emotionally. I was very responsible for the whole family's emotional health. So I ended up in codependency treatment, and they identified, you know, you're the one who tries to save the family. That's not fair to you. So I've been 30 years in codependency treatment. And make a lot of progress, but then, you know, it's like two steps forward, one step back if something in the family gets affected. So my sister kept struggling. I got involved by my parents demanding I save her. Long story made short, it didn't work out well, and she separated me from my parents, and my parents didn't talk to me for 3.5 years.
Oh.
My mom got sick, got dementia. Yeah, 3.5 years. My mom got sick, got dementia. My aunt asked me to go back at least check on my mom. So I started re-engaging. And, of course, they had never changed. They'd never gotten recovery. But as time went on, I would come every, like, 6 months, whatever. And things got better for me with my mom because she had dementia. So she went back to being, you know, somebody I could relate to from the past and not deal with my family. But that created all kinds of problems for my younger sister because she had aced me out. Well, my mom died in January, and I had to be around my sister that I hadn't seen in, you know, 6.5 years. She had completely separated me from her son, who was, he adored me when he was little, and now he's a teenager, and she's filled his head with nonsense. So my question is, I try to stay away from them as best I can, but my older sister sees them, and she will bring up to me what they do together. And then she will say to me, oh, you know, it's not really that we're spending time together, but, you know, and it just makes me crazy, and I just don't know how to not put my upsetness on her. Because it's not her fault. She's having a relationship with my sister, but but how do I have a relationship with her and then with my dad? Because I have no, after my mom died, my dad started getting involved with a woman who was, you know, 15 or 18 years younger than him, and that's fine, whatever he wants to do, but he attacked me again because they blame me for getting better and leaving the family.
Well, you can hear the music. You can hear the music, Cindy. One of the things that you're describing is what we open the show with. Family systems are very tricky, and when they get sick, they stay sick for a long time. And those roles are hard to bust out of, even though you've done a lot of good work. When we come back after the break, we'll hear from Jill and Alice. You know, we're grateful to offer this, and we do it because so many people give to the ministry of New Life. They help us do what we do. We've got Club New Life members that help us, but we've got other donors that also contribute. But if you have never considered giving, maybe today's the day that you'll call us. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com and give to this ministry that's giving to so many to have a new life. We appreciate all that you do through your gifts, and we're going to make the most of every dollar to help somebody find a new life. We'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking with Cindy, and we're going to continue taking your calls for the next hour. And we've got folks holding on, and we want you to. And you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And Cindy, I think we can help you move forward. Jill or Alice, do you want to start?
Cindy, when you ask your older sister to please not talk about what she, her interactions with the younger sister, how does she respond?
Well, initially she'll act like she's okay with that, but then mm-hmm. it's like we have nothing to talk about.
Mm.
Because, you know, she just, it's like there's this big empty void, and I've tried to say, you know, let's figure out something else to talk about, but eventually it comes back to our family, my sister, my dad, my mother.
And we hear years of pain and struggle mm-hmm. and conflict. How complex for you? I wonder if it's even difficult for you not to continue crunching on, working on what's happening in your family. Is your family on your mind frequently?
No, I try not to think about them at all. And that, you know, like I said, in 3 years when they didn't talk to me for 3 whole years, it was so hard. But eventually I got to the point where I could say the Lord has protected me from something very painful. And so when I did get re-involved, it just kind of opened back up. And mm-hmm. just, and then seeing my sister after all those years and her wanting to act like nothing happened, you know, because she's the one that always acts like everything is great and fine and, you know, she's going off on mission trips and she's just great. And I just keep thinking, how can you be great when you've created so much problems in our family?
And that's the younger sister. That's your younger sister. Okay.
So I'm going to recommend some simple logistical maneuvers to make. But I also want you to continue the deeper work of the grief, mm-hmm. the anger that might be stirring in you, and the difficulty of the forgiveness process that we're called to, because the ways you're feeling are, of course, the deeper level of what's been happening to you and your family all this time. But on the surface level of conversation, when you speak with your older sister, I want you to go to the conversation prepared with a couple different topics that you might ask her about or that you might share about your own life and what you're doing. And as she has agreed previously to not talk about your younger sister, you'll probably need to strategize with her. This is what I need to do if it keeps coming up, if the conversation about how you interact with our sister keeps coming up. Because I know you're trying not to. And it does still come up, right? We both know that. It still comes up. So I'm going to steer us away from that. But I also might need to take a break from our conversation because it almost seems impossible for it not to come up. But it stirs my heart too much. So I've got to take care of myself in this way when you still bring up our younger sister. What would it be like, Cindy, for you to strategize that in advance with your older sister? How do you think she would respond?
Well, I think she would say, it's you that brings it up. It's you that wants to talk about it. And it's like, I do bring it up only because I feel like she's hiding all these things about it to be, you know, catty. So I know it's a lot. It's me. I mean, I appreciate 100%. I think that's great what you just said. I will definitely spend time strategizing safer topics and control.
Cindy, you know what's very interesting.
It is. It's funny. We're kind of getting that sense about you that they are on your mind quite a bit and that this does really stir you up. Go ahead, Jill.
Well, and with dysfunctional families, they do take up a lot of space because everybody's trying to sort it out and figure out these relationships. And so I think it's pretty normal to over-focus. And so when you're around a member of the family, it reminds both of you of the relationships and how they're not how you wish they would be or how frustrating they are. And so there's this need that we all have to sort it through. I'm really happy that you are in CODA because that's definitely a place where you can sort it through a little more removed from the trigger of actually being with them. The fact that you keep bringing it up, I wonder what it would be like if you intentionally did not bring it up with your sister. Like, could you do that?
I think I know that's what I think is the hardest part. It's like, it eventually is me. And it's like, why? Why do I keep bringing it up?
What are you wanting? Are you thinking it's going to go different? Are you looking for answers that you haven't been able to get? Is it some kind of satisfaction?
Go ahead, Cindy.
I think it's just validation. It's validation that it's wrong. What they've done is wrong, and what it is wrong. It's like, I know that is never going to come.
You're right.
To validate what they did was wrong and how they treat me is wrong. That's impossible. I'm never going to get that. And yet, it still is what, at the end of the day, it's like, I know that's all codependency. It's like, you're just going to be talking and explaining and showing them, and they're never going to give you that.
Cindy, that may actually be, it may be a legitimate need you have that won't be fulfilled with your sister, but could be fulfilled with other people. Because as you tell the story to us, we can see where your family made mistakes. We can see where you were hurt. Validation of our feelings is a natural, good human need. Just this morning, I went to my husband, Cindy, and I said, I'm feeling anxious about something that really doesn't make any sense, and I just need to know that that makes sense to you, that I'm struggling with anxiety. Could you validate that you can understand my anxiety? And his validation soothed me. But we can't always get that from the person we want it from, and so we have to seek it from other people that are capable of hearing us and soothing us with validation.
Yeah, I think that's such a great truth. And Cindy, we hear you as far as the work that you're doing. And, you know, CODA is a very helpful place because of the groups that you know, you can be part of. One thing about family roles is that they are lifelong in many ways. But one thing that I can encourage you to do is decide what role you're going to take in the future. So with this sister that you're connected with, maybe instead of trying to, you know, kind of ice skate through all of those uncharted conversations, maybe you say, hey, you want to read a book together, like you know, like your own little book club, so that when you do get together, you're talking about something completely separate, but it's something that you both have done together. And then you continue to create things like, you know, let's go to this particular restaurant that's just for us. And you're recreating new memories, new places for you to connect. It's just simple.
Right. Okay. And I like that. But what about this, you guys? Cindy, what if you went to older sister and told her what you're looking for? I need somebody from the family to validate that what happened was wrong.
Hmm.
Are you able to do that for me? And just ask her.
I don't know, because she was...
What?
I don't know, because she was very wounded by my family. I mean, she was very
okay.
wounded by my
well,
family.
But here's the thing.
She's not a safe person.
Okay. But so then why do you keep going to her and explaining everything if she's not a safe person? Because you are hoping for that.
I think because I have mental illness. No, I really love
no.
was just suggested, because I think that question's never occurred to me, like what role do I want to play in recreating the role? Because I get to decide. My older sister is never going to be able to do that, because she's too wounded. And again, when I'm around her, then I get into the, you know, I don't want to bring up things to make you mad, but look, you were hurt, but I was hurt too. And it just goes right back into this never ending cycle of we're not well.
You both were hurt. You both.
Right.
Have needed validation for your hurt,
and we're so glad that you called, Cindy, and I think that you will have a way forward. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and we're so called as you head into this holiday, you can decide that you're going to be the person that you want to be and won't be dictated by the family history. And I think for so many of our listeners, that is the challenge. You know, it's like, how do I get out of this dynamic? And it is possible, and we can help you. We've got all kinds of workshops. You know, you hear us talk about it all the time, but you can go to newlife.com and check out something that might be exactly what you need for the new year. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jill, for your wisdom. We're going to continue taking calls for another hour. We've got some folks lined up, but we've still got lines open. Call us 1-800-229-3000, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.